Music. Alles einsteigen, bitte. Türen schließen. Das Blumenpflücken während der Fahrt ist verboten.
Think of war would exist between us. This country is at war.
I, your leader, will see you safely through to a better world. And now,
a walk in the Black Forest.
There we go. That's Walk in the Forest, 2RRR 88.5 FM. Show number 300.
You meant to say welcome. You meant to say welcome to show number 315.
That's the one. On tonight's show, no Abe.
No Abe.
That would actually be officially, if we take 314, the second show in a row without Abe.
It would be.
Despite the fact we've had 3 weeks where it was my fucking fault, there was no show.
Yeah, but that's all right. You're allowed to get away with it.
Oh, okay.
Abe's a professional.
He is.
So he's got no excuse, really. And, of course, that means without Abe, there will be no comedy on tonight's show.
But
it will be straight talking and politics and...
And the Saints. Now, of course, if you've been to our website, www.walkbackforest.org, you would have seen some beautiful shots of the Saints and the Laughing Clowns playing live at Ultimaro's parties. They were especially, if you're not Abe, you shouldn't be watching them. They were just directed to Abe. So on tonight's show,
that's because we took his account away on the website, that's the only way we can get the stuff to him.
Yeah. On tonight's show, no idea. I actually have no idea, but we'll find out later. And I can't hear a thing.
Well, I could throw a few things in.
Okay.
But I can't be asked, really.
That was, of course, the brand new track from Kelly Clarkson.
Who's working on
her vocal shifting, in almost a Mariah Carey type range.
Mm.
And if you believe a word of that, you're fucking stupid.
I hate that band with
a passion. You hate Placebo with a passion?
I hate them with a passion.
Yep, fair enough.
Yeah, that's it, really. I'm not going to swear and abuse the guy.
Fair enough.
I mean, he's a fuckwit, but apart from that.
That was
a dickhead.
Yep. That was the band Placebo. With their track "Without You, I'm Nothing," which was the only track, only decent track they made, I think, off any era of their album.
Really, wasn't there a bigger hit?
Oh, there was.
The bigger everyone hit was into that everybody
Pure
liked.
Morning.
And
that was
I
a big
think
hit,
Pure
yeah.
Morning. Yeah.
Yep. Every Me, Every You.
That was it.
That was a big hit. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then my personal favourite, Taste in Men.
Yeah, that was it.
That was my personal hit. I like that.
That was
it really
one.
Represents
it was
my
yeah
life.
A bit of autobiography. Can I just say that amongst the disaster that is the financial crisis?
Yep.
There are several.
No, please, Richard. The financial tsunami.
The financial tsunami. It's been upgraded.
It has.
From a crisis to a tsunami.
Yep.
What's above a tsunami? Is there anything above a tsunami?
Global destruction.
Catastrophe.
Yes, not bad. Yep. Tragedy.
Yeah. I don't know
what you're doing. I don't know. If anyone knows
volcanoes the other day.
Did you?
Do you know there's an island in the Pacific, I think it is, that is 7 times bigger than Mount St. Helens.
Nice.
It's an active volcano.
How much of it's underwater?
None of it is underwater.
None of it's underwater?
But it's on a small island.
Ah.
And it's 7 times bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And they reckon when it does go off, sometime between... now,
so like, and the, it could and be the, off now, and we just don't
and
know.
And the next 40,000 years, because it is active. The eruption will throw so much shit into the air.
Yep.
And rock into the air.
It's amazing how those birds all land on that thing and just like defecate.
Oh, there's a lot of animals on the island.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's a very stinky island.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yep.
When the shit. And the rock comes back down again.
And hits the fan.
Yes, it will create a tsunami
Yep.
bigger than anything we have ever seen in the history of civilization.
Nice.
What it will do is wipe out most of California.
And the bad part of that would be?
No, that there is no bad part.
Well, no, there would, there might be. It might wipe out Cupertino.
The bad part is that...
You don't want to wipe out Cupertino, do you?
Well, you don't want... the bad thing about it is we won't be able to see it live because the television cameras won't be able to get close enough.
That's true. Unless they make special underwater cameras.
Yeah, or unless some guys are there, tourists are there with their little mobile phones recording, and we see it broadcast on YouTube before they get turned into molten rock.
An iPhone because you can't record video.
You can't record video
on an iPhone
yet. Yes. Or but you know, in order to record on an iPhone, not only would you have to have the ability to record video, but you'd have to have
video
an
to
iPhone.
Send it. Oh, that's true. You would have to have an iPhone.
Which not everybody has an iPhone.
No, not everyone has an iPhone. And I think at this point, I do need to actually discuss. In a very measured and I'd say
I haven't
fair
finished.
Way.
Are we coming back to me? Because
I just want to at this point just send a little message to the person or persons unknown who stole my iPhone last Tuesday.
Oh, you lost your iPhone, did you, Pete?
Yes, I did. Who stole my iPhone last Tuesday from my desk at work?
Mm-hmm.
I think in what is effectively...
It's strange because there's not really a crime area, is it really?
Not really, no, no. I wouldn't argue the Vaucluse is a crime area.
No.
It's and the fact that my desk is Malcolm Turnbull's desk should make it fairly safe. But no, I just want to send a message out to the gentleman or lady.
Could be.
Could have been lady. Who stole my phone.
Maladjusted, perhaps, individual.
Yep. I basically hope you fucking die. Painfully.
Because you certainly couldn't use the phone.
Yes. Because I just want to point out to you, if you are listening, and you're the one who did steal my phone, firstly, I had the SIM locked within an hour of finding that it was actually... So you wouldn't be able to use my SIM.
No.
Then you might...
But you would have got a couple of SMSs from me.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, so if you did get those, feel free to forward them on to Pete.
Now, the next thing you can't do is that I also got... One of the great things about iPhones is I can basically make that phone a redundant brick.
Yes.
Which my provider very nicely did about 12 hours after my phone was stolen. Now my phone, well, actually, to be fair, it's not a redundant brick. It can be used as an iPod Touch.
Sure.
I believe.
Sure. Can it still be used as an iPod Touch if they connect it to iTunes?
That's a good question.
Will it get bricked automatically?
I reckon iTunes might brick it. That's
they
a
might
good
brick
point.
It. Yeah.
But, you know, you never know. What I will say, though...
What could happen, you know, they could track it down, you know that.
They could.
Because the phone connected to iTunes talks to the iTunes store.
And
that would log exactly where it is.
It picks the IP address.
Exactly.
Good point.
So,
now
in
these,
theory, Apple are preventing you from returning your phone, even though they have that information.
These people... fine, upstanding, thieving little pricks that they are.
Yes, they may not be little.
They could be big. Little's more, rather than, it's more the size of their pricks. It's more figurative rather than literal.
Yeah, no. Or
the size of their dicks. Now, my issue with them, of course, the other side of this is that they actually knew what they were doing because my phone was fully charged when I
waited? Is that right?
Well,
they checked earlier and thought, that's not full yet.
When I worked out my phone wasn't around, I thought, maybe I have left it at home. So I rang my phone, and it went straight to voicemail. Now, the only reason it would do that if the phone was fully charged was that one of these little dickwads, took out the SIM card. Now, in a standard mobile phone, taking out the SIM card is relatively easy.
Yeah.
In an iPhone, it requires a degree in nuclear physics.
Yeah.
Or one of those little tuning key things.
Yes, exactly.
Tuning fork.
So you're supposing that this guy or girl...
Or girl.
Little or big.
Yep.
Whether they had a penis or not.
Yep.
Made sure that they...
But if they did, it would be little.
Exactly. Made sure that they stole your phone, having had other opportunities
at
the time that it's fully charged.
Yep.
They're not smart enough to know that you could just charge it off any cable. But they are smart enough to know how to get out the SIM card. You're suggesting. Or, alternatively, it's not possible that they just
turn
jumped
the phone
on
off.
It?
They could have done. They could have
smashed it against the wall, perhaps threw it under a car when it didn't work.
That's also true. All of those things are indeed quite possible.
Right. But more than likely,
shoved it up
in their
ass and got their mate to ring it.
Exactly. More than likely, they had one of those little jingle jangle things that comes with the phone, and they had that ready to insert and eject.
Or a paper clip.
Or a paperclip, which they would have found in the area
in
of your desk.
That's exactly. Quite true. There were quite a few.
Yes, exactly.
30 or 40, perhaps.
Were they ready? Did you count them?
I count them every day.
Fantastic.
Because now I'm paranoid about losing things.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't leave paperclips just lying around.
Big or little, male, female, but definitely with a small appendage, came into my office and stole a paperclip. Well, that is the thin end of the wedge.
That's the thin end of the wedge.
So, California.
You'd certainly phone home a bit more. You wouldn't really, would you?
No, not really. California.
California, yes. The
aforementioned tsunami.
The biggest tsunami in the world would wipe out most of California.
Yes.
And I'm not bullshitting. This is on a documentary.
Yep. Documentary. On Discovery Channel?
No, I refuse to get cable.
Yep, fair enough.
In principle.
I don't disagree with you.
I think it was on Pilot Guides, actually.
Pilot Guides?
I think it was on accidentally while I was doing something else. It just happened to be on in the background.
Yep.
And it was a special on all the volcanoes, the active volcanoes in the world.
Yep.
The
Mountain Helens would have been in there.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's
and they showed that the land you walk on around St. Helens now is 200 metres above the real ground.
Yep.
But
I've walked on the ground.
Have you really?
I have. Yeah.
Wow. The crazy thing about showing all the current active volcanoes is that all the people presenting were actually there at the active volcanoes.
No.
Okay. Don't know about you. Well, you obviously would have no problem doing that.
Well, I was a little bit. Yeah. I didn't actually go to the lip and, hang a slash over the lip.
Well, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't risk it with one, let alone all seven.
And, considering all seven of them could actually explode sometime between today and 40,000
years in the future. So this one here... Is like a secret volcano.
Yep.
Not many people are pushing this as a big issue, but governments are starting to take it very seriously without chilling people, because this tsunami could wipe out most of
California,
United States.
Once again, I repeat the question.
Who cares?
Well, no, that.
But the great thing is, to be fair. At least they won't get done by an earthquake.
That's true.
They've definitely earthquake-proofed the entire town.
Yep.
They can, standing on top of their buildings, as they will be completely gulfed in water, thank God it wasn't an earthquake, because we would have been completely safe at
that
point.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. And but to be fair, though, there are parts of Western United States which are decent.
Yeah, exactly. LA Airport.
San Diego's okay. I like San Diego.
Right.
Okay. You don't like San Diego?
Oh, I wasn't going to take it that far.
No, see, I like San Diego.
The airport on the way out. Really.
No, because San Diego, they got dolphins. Dolphins.
Really?
They got SeaWorld. Yeah. They're nice. They filmed Star Trek 4 there.
I'm trying to think of that little Mexican town just over the border.
Tijuana.
Tijuana's a good...
Yeah, that's not bad. I've heard that. I heard you can get cheap prescription drugs.
Yeah, and Montreal.
Montreal. But that's excellent. And one of my personal favourite parts of West Coast of America, I believe,
Hawaii.
Is Paris.
Oh, Paris.
Paris is really lovely.
Yeah, and you can... Yeah.
And if you happen to... When the volcano goes off, and you actually happen to be, say, at the top of the Eiffel Tower, you'd be relatively safe.
Well, they didn't say that. They didn't clarify. They didn't say you would be safe on the Eiffel Tower. They just said you wouldn't be safe on the West Coast of America. So
I think, Richard, you should do a bit of research into this. Before you bring these facts... Mm. These facts, and I'll put that in inverted commas, these scientific, fun facts to the state, to this very program, you should research them to find out if Paris would be safe if a tsunami hit the west coast of the United States.
I'm quite happy to do that.
Yep.
If the volcano and the tsunami and all the aforementioned stuff was actually my point of my story.
Oh, okay.
It's not my point of the story. My point of the story was...
Yep.
In the global financial crisis, and then you said the tsunami.
And what could have it? So in other words,
we want to be clear.
You were distracted.
I was distracted.
Oh, excellent, all right.
So don't try and assign this particular lack
distraction
of
distraction
to my story.
Okay, all right. So global
in
crisis.
In the global, I will use tsunami because I'm safe from going there now because we've already been there.
Yep.
In the global financial tsunami.
Yep.
For which may escalate to be a catastrophe.
Yeah,
tragedy.
Catastrophe. Yep.
or near-Earth collision, yeah. I guess, is probably one above that. There are several careers that are actually doing quite
booming.
Including in Sydney, the career of glass door making.
Nice.
Yeah.
What? Why is that booming?
Because I work in the same building as a certain shadow minister.
Yep.
I know that she's changed her glass doors at least four times in the last 4 months.
Yeah, she has.
And they are whopping great expensive doors, let me tell you.
So is the new one up now?
No, the scary thing is I only just noticed that today, in the last week, she's just had her door changed to Shadow Minister for Foreign Affairs.
Yes.
Not anymore. It took her several weeks to actually change from community services,
to foreign affairs,
what she was late last year.
To foreign affairs.
To foreign affairs.
Now she has to change again. To health, I believe.
I think she's the finance minister.
She may be.
I think she's finance now.
Hmm. But we will talk about
because
the...
Because she was mentioned in the same vein
as Happy Joe.
Happy Joe.
We will talk about the Liberals' great week. Yeah. Fairly soon, but at this point, this gentleman we talked to on the show over 10 years ago, and his name is John from Unwritten Law. That was the slowest version I have ever heard of that song.
Did you request that they record that at slow speed?
I think it's for people who are hard of hearing.
I wish I brought my iPod because I do actually have the
original
the grab.
Oh, the John from Unwritten Law grab.
John from Unwritten Law.
That was
the Walk in the Black Forest.
That was Unwritten Law, of course, which is a re-recorded version of a track that appeared on their very first album, which was Blue Room, with Superman. And then was re-recorded for their second album again.
Really?
And that's the third re-record.
I probably knew that at some point.
And you know what?
Not one of those.
That one
that
sucked.
Intense.
Sucked balls.
Did it really?
It did. It did. Very small balls. Usually probably the same small balls of the man, woman. Little big.
You know, if I was a listener
who stole my
at
iPhone.
Home,
yep,
or in my car, or
yep.
anywhere else, mm-hmm. if I was a listener of this very show,
sitting there naked in my bed,
yeah, knowing that we love all of our listeners and we care for them from deeply. I don't know how I'd react knowing that you picked a song that you actually fucking hate.
No. See
that recording, you picked the shitty recording to play on the show.
No, see, the problem I have here...
If I was a listener at home, I'd be thinking, what, you can't play the fucking good one?
There's actually two issues here. Issue number one, mm-hmm. if I may be so bold...
You got your phone nicked.
You just got my phone nicked by some tool. Now, issue number one is that I didn't bring any CDs today.
Yeah, but that spoils my rant.
Issue number two is that I didn't realise that was, in fact, re-recorded until I put it in, started playing, and went, oh, yeah... That's re-recorded.
It's sort of a fact that I would expect you to know, Pete. At least you would have prepared for it earlier.
I knew it. I just needed it to be reminded of
me. Right, okay, good.
Anyway, enough of that. Now, I want to talk this at this point, if I may be so bold.
Sure.
I want to talk a little bit, a moment, about how it's been a bad week for a few people.
Sure.
The first of those I'd like
to... It hasn't been a bad week for all those... In the path of the tsunami.
No. Obviously, glassmakers are doing pretty well. Glassmakers are
doing pretty well.
I want to firstly, at this point, talk about Julie Bishop.
Sure.
Yep. You know, Julie Bishop, Australian...
Now, before you get into this, I won't have a bad word about Julie Bishop. Thank you very much.
Can I say two bad words?
Sure.
Okay.
Just don't say
just
one
bad
word.
All right. Now, Julie Bishop is the Australian, for those of you who, of course, are not in Australia, our overseas listeners, welcome. Australia is a great country.
Yeah.
We love Australia.
We do.
And our place in the world is assured.
We are the lucky country.
We are the lucky country.
We're lucky to get rid of John Howard, that's for sure.
Yeah, very true. And our place in the world is assured simply by three very important tenets of being Australian.
USA.
That's funnier than mine. I'll take that.
No,
that's funnier than mine. Yeah. I was going to mention something about mateship.
Okay, good. Mateship.
The USA is good. I'll go with that. It's funny. I like that. Now, back to where I was. Now, Julie Bishop, of course, is the opposition, deputy opposition leader.
I think she's sexy.
You think so? Cat thing with her and Julia Gillard?
I think there's a sexual thing there.
You find Bronwyn Bishop attractive?
I do not find Bronwyn Bishop attractive. I just like to say that, and I'll say it as many times as you
want
me to.
Do you find her sexy?
No, I do not. She's
Malcolm
not.
Turnbull.
Yeah, definitely.
You see the
I think Julie Bishop's got this. Wheels. She's got some sort of thing to her. Yeah.
I'm not even going to go into that. A, I have to investigate your sexual psyche, which is something I really don't want to do. And B,
he says I got one.
No. Anyway, back to where I was. Julie,
but you know, I'm a big fan of Julie,
Deputy Opposition Leader and Shadow Treasury spokesman, has been, was the subject of a bit of a whispering campaign for the last couple of weeks that she was basically doing a shit job. Many of her cabinet colleagues basically put the knife in by saying that they fully support her and think she's doing a great job in all public forums, including her leader, who then quite readily accepted her resignation from said position.
Yep.
Bad week for Julie Bishop. Of course, this has meant the promotion of Happy Joe Hockey, one of our personal favourites, and, of course, one of the personal favourites of the Sunrise team, to the trail of Shadow Treasurer.
He's not really the man you'd want as Treasurer, is he?
No, not really.
I mean, of all the people on that side of the house, he's probably the one lefties would hate the most, I would imagine.
Yeah, there'd be a couple more.
He is Mr. Work Choices.
Tony Abbott would be pretty high up for the lefties.
But he's just ineffectual, really.
He's a people person, Richard.
But he did so much for the health system.
He did. He was fantastic, you know. We won't talk, but, yeah.
But, you know, Joe, he's one of those guys that it would seem to me, he'd sell, you know, refrigerators to Eskimos. He'd toe the line, whatever the party line was.
Yep. He was the person who argued, I think quite successfully, for the position they took on the $42 billion stimulus package, which is to block the whole fucking thing.
Yes.
That was, I think, a really productive and bipartisan approach to the whole thing.
During the whole work choices thing, you never really knew, even though he was saying it's the best thing and, yeah, you guys are retarded if you think it's good. You never really
knew. That
was
a quote, I'm sure that's in Hansard.
It is. You never really knew whether he really agreed with it or believed it or not. He just came across as if, I'm just saying what John Howard tells me to say.
And it's funny, I have actually watched...
That's not his accent, either.
No, I know. I've watched two episodes of The Howard Years, finally.
Yes, I haven't seen it yet.
I've watched two episodes of The Howard Years, and you listen to people like Hockey, and they...
Still dripping out of the corner of their mouth?
Without a doubt. And the interesting thing about someone like Hockey is that, you know... He's a true believer. John Howard, it's all about...
He couldn't leave her if he tried.
Exactly. It was all about John Howard. Now, the interesting thing is when you watch people like Costello, he was all
the
about...
The greatest treasure the world has ever had, apparently.
I believe so. And let's be fair, Richard, that we would not be in the current global financial tsunami that we face now if Peter had been in for an extra year. Exactly right. No, I think there's a few other people that Labor would fear more than Happy Joe Hockey. Happy Joe Hockey is basically just big rotund guy. And, you know, Big Kev likes him. And so there's he's not going to go hard at him. I think if they were going to fear anybody, I think they'd probably fear Peter Costello. I think that's someone who...
From a competition perspective, yes. Yes.
I mean, if anyone's going to basically reduce Kevin Rudd... And to be fair, I'm very bored with hearing Kevin Rudd talk these days because it is somewhat monotonous and slow and measured.
But to be fair, you were very quick onto the anti-Rudd bandwagon, Pete. You were one of the quickest I've ever seen.
Me and Abe now.
Yeah, you and Abe.
I know. You, of course, are still a true believer.
I can still see a bit drifting. I'm drifting.
You're drifting? Yeah. So
not seeing too much action.
No, fair enough. The next person who's had, shall we say, not a great week in Australian politics was Dr. Brendan.
Dr. Brendan, yes, the safest Liberal seat in the world.
Bradfield, which is where
where I grew up. When I was growing up in that area, it was 98% Liberal.
Exactly. It's gone down a little bit then. It's around about 80%
right,
now.
Okay. That's a disaster. That's a tsunami.
They've let some of those Labor voters into the electorate.
Yeah.
They couldn't stop them.
Yeah.
You know, they're all the children of the people who were originally there. What? No, no, it's not that. What's actually happened?
Isn't it?
No. There's a far more irrational and stupid explanation than that.
Oh, sure. Well, bring it on.
What's actually happened is while these... how do I describe them?
I don't know. It's your story.
Howard's true believers.
Oh, yeah.
Good, honest, hard-working
souls.
The Aussie battlers. Who were on their struggle streets.
Struggle streets.
In Labor territory... Yeah. Started voting for Howard.
Started voting for Howard.
Then Struggle Street realized the to Struggle Streets of Gold.
Struggle Streets of Gold.
They then sold their houses in Struggle Street because who the fuck wants to live in a fibro place?
Who wants to live in fucking Struggle Street?
Yeah, who want to live in Struggle Street when you can live on streets paved with gold?
Streets paved with gold. Blue ribbon.
Yeah, let's get out of Struggle. Ribbon. Let's get out of Struggle Streets paved with gold. Exactly. And let's get into just like beautiful leafy streets paved with gold.
Leafy blue ribbon.
So they were able to parlay their Struggle Street places into very expensive mansions in Blue Ribbon territory.
Mm.
They are interlopers.
Oh, they're interlopers.
And at the border, they should be they should not be permitted into those suburbs.
They should be prevented from entering.
Unless you were born in that area, that perhaps you were born at, say, the Sands, perhaps?
Such as myself.
Yeah, you were born at the Sands?
No, I wasn't born at the Sands.
Kalara Hospital?
No.
Royal North Shore?
I don't know where I was born.
I'm just picking hospitals.
I don't know where I was born. I grew up there, though.
Oh, that was going to be my next point, that you also need to demonstrate perhaps some schooling heritage in the local area.
Oh, definitely schooling heritage. I'll go
with that. So you need to be able to demonstrate, for example, participation at some, preferably not, though, a public school.
Yeah, probably.
So you're two out so far.
I'm two out so far. But no, but I get don't I get a half for being, at one of the...
same school Abe went
distinctive to. Public school.
Same school Abe went to.
I think it was.
Yeah. So the next point.
I forgot about that. I completely forgot we went
so
to.
So the next point I'm going to raise. So
did he really get it?
He did, yeah. Did too.
Did he go to Clara?
Yeah, you two talk about it all the time.
I thought he went to Chatswood.
Yeah, I see you two sitting here, as the as the Croatians would say, Pichkuruku, talking on.
Oh, yeah, as they'd say.
As they say, Pichkuruku, talking on about Clara I. Mm. As if it was. Some people would think you went to Grammar or Shaw, but no, you went to Clara High.
No, I'm not a wanker.
That's true. Mm. And no, sorry, don't say it, Peter. It would be libelous. The next thing, of course, in order to make sure that you need to get into this. So far, two crosses so far. Do you drive a form of imported motor car?
Technically.
Is it a premium German?
No, it's Japanese.
It's Japanese.
Japanese. Imported Japanese.
So you've got, as they would say in the classics, a Dak Dak.
No, not a Dak Dak.
No.
But,
so no Beamer, Volvo,
no.
Even a Rolls?
No.
I'd take a Rolls. No. It's not really Europe, but I'll take it.
No, I don't have a Rolls.
No, so that's three strikes. Right.
There's got to be something that.
Now the fourth one in order to
how about the fact that I grew up there? Does that
fourth
that doesn't count?
Possibly the fourth is that you currently have a mortgage on something that has at least a triple garage. Perhaps its own tennis court. That's not necessary, but it does help. At least two stories, preferably built in the 70s and fucking ugly. Going with that?
No. Last time I checked.
No, see, look, you're getting pretty close to not being able to vote for Brendan Nelson. Actually, no one can vote for Brendan Nelson now.
How about when my parents built, it was just vacant bushland. Does that count?
But you can do that out at Penrith. That's true. We can do it at Bringelly. So my final point. I think this is quite important. And I'm sure this is the case with you, Richard.
Yeah,
that you are a fan of perhaps some of the local colourful sporting teams, the Gordon Rugby team, for example.
Oh, definitely. What is it? Rugby?
The Gordon Rugby team, yeah.
Yeah, definitely Gordon... What is it?
Rugby.
Rugby.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely Gordon Rugby team.
Yes. Are you a fan of the Waratahs?
The
Waratahs?
The Waratahs.
Yeah. You know who Tarman is?
Be a big fan of...
Tarman? Do you like Tarman?
Tarman,
that's him.
Definitely him.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a big fan.
He's a big fan. You may even be a fan of maybe, perhaps... Well... there isn't really a rugby league team there. I mean, you can't really have a rugby league team.
I can certainly attest that there's no rugby league team anywhere near.
So really, you've really got to focus on either Gordon Rugby or the Tars.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
there's a lot of rugby up that way.
There's a fair bit of rugby.
I'm sure I've told the story how at school, I thought they were teaching us rugby league.
Ah.
Until
might more fool you.
The fifth week. Yeah. Where they taught us a line out, and I thought, what the fuck is this? I haven't seen this on TV.
See, we don't talk about rugby from the school I went to, because I grew up in the West.
Yes, well.
Which isn't the West now.
Yeah. Some of us aspire to be brought up in your area, Pete.
That's very true.
Not me.
Yeah,
but some people do.
I've seen your paddle, man.
Important.
Really, what you're telling me is that you don't classify on any of the five criteria to be allowed into the soon-to-be former member of for Bradfield, Dr. Brendan Nelson's electorate.
No, I don't. Not at all.
So, and you voted
not
in
even
it.
Let's just say I was on the roll.
You're eligible to vote.
Let's just say I was on the roll.
So, I know it's been a bad week for Brendan Nelson.
Or has it been?
Possibly. Maybe a bad week for Malcolm Turnbull.
I mean, Brendan can, head back to wherever he's living. I don't know if he lives in the area.
Oh, possibly.
He can put his earring back in. Yep. He can...
play his guitar.
Play his guitar.
Ride his bike.
He can reform a band. The band.
Paul Keating can manage them.
He could definitely do that. Something to do with rods. Yeah, I think that'd be good for Brendan. To see the back of Turnbull. The interesting thing, though, I don't know if you're going to mention this, is that he did not tell Turnbull.
No, he told the media first.
He told the media first.
Well, I'm going to be fair to Brendan. He did tell his electorate first. But while he was telling his electorate, there was a large amount of invited media, many of which aren't local newspapers.
Mm.
I'm not too sure if the local community radio station in his area, which of course is very fine, 2NSB.
Yes.
I don't know if 2NSB were invited.
Oh, they were probably up at church.
Quite possibly.
At the time.
Or listening to some jazz.
Oh, radio station. Where did he give the... I didn't know that he... Was it to the electorate?
It was to his electoral office, yes. To his to the meeting of his electorate, yes.
Oh.
Yep.
So what? It was at a meeting, wasn't it?
It was at a meeting, yes. This is before...
Of who?
Of his... Of the branch.
Of his electorate.
The branch.
He wouldn't have a room there.
The branch.
The branch. Oh, so the other...
The other two or three liberals.
That are
there. Yep. What I will point out, though, it has been a great week for Barry O'Farrell. Because Barry O'Farrell...
Or has it?
Barry O'Farrell, of course, opposition leader in New South Wales, and unfortunately, probably soon to be Premier.
Yes.
If he just sits there, does nothing, keeps his king mouth shut, he'll be Premier.
Although, Nathan seems to be doing a pretty good job doing exactly the same thing at the moment.
He is. Nathan's really pulled everything out of the media.
Well, we might talk about him a bit later, but yes. Barry's happy smiling.
Yep. He is.
Oh, I chose my words well then, didn't I?
You did.
Yeah.
So Barry, because Barry
Has
been under a lot of speculation recently.
Yes, speculation.
That Happy Joe... was going to replace him as opposition leader here in New South Wales. Now, Happy Joe's now Shadow Treasury spokesperson and probably will think twice about before taking on the role of being the Premier of New South Wales.
You see, was there any real facts behind that picture? I don't know why they would... Barry Farrell, he's got the job.
Yeah.
Completely ineffectual,
yeah.
And he's got the job. So why would you put somebody who arguably, and I wouldn't tell this to anybody outside just you and me,
of course,
somebody who's arguably got some kind of skills that would be
mad
useful.
You may ask about mad skills.
That would be useful in a situation where they're probably more required to get somebody over the line.
Yes.
Why would you oust Barry and take away Happy Joe's skills from the federal side? It doesn't make sense to me.
I don't understand it either. I think there's probably got to do with the fact that Barry O'Farrell is probably on the moderate side of the Liberal Party, which probably has a little bit to do with it, because let's be fair, the Liberal Party in New South Wales is run by how do I describe this?
Nazis.
Yeah, pretty much. You've got some very far right wing members of the Liberal Party. Hello, Alex Hawke, if you're listening.
Goebbels.
Yep.
Himmler.
Yep, I've heard that. Yep. Yeah. Could be taken on holidays.
Yeah.
You've got Alex Hawke. Yeah. Fairly right-wing member of the...
Oh, fairly. He's got right-wing leanings.
Got some right-wing leanings. And, of course, you've got...
Right-wing, he leaned so far he fell over.
That's very true. He's never been able to stand up.
No, exactly.
The last 7 years, he's actually just... He's wobbled on his side with his hand. He just moves himself along the ground.
Yeah.
He's actually had his side lined with Teflon. Anyway, that was just one of the stupidest images I've ever had.
I was participating.
You know, I almost said Velcro.
Oh, nice! Because that means that when he gets through a hill, that he doesn't he doesn't slide down.
Stuck on the right, yeah.
Yeah, it just keeps him like an inch his way down. Really, or when he's trying to get up the hill, he doesn't fall backwards.
I'm glad I didn't say Velcro.
Yeah, I'm really glad because that was probably one of the most interesting things. I was going to be sitting here listening to this show.
So Alex Hawke,
Alex's
anyway.
Back to Barry Farrell. I think the right-wing elements of the current liberal opposition have been, undermining.
In other words, all of them.
Barry O'Farrell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
However, Joe is actually far more moderate than Barry O'Farrell. I don't understand why.
Is he really?
Well, I think maybe the other side of the argument is this: Joe will do what he's told. Joe will say what he's told.
Yes, exactly.
He's a sponge.
I said that earlier. You're dealing.
He's a sponge and a mirror.
He's definitely a
spira.
He's a puppet. How's
or
that?
A sponger. actually, he's definitely a sponger. I like that.
He's
a sponger.
I don't mind calling him a sponger.
Now, the other side of this, of course...
Or a spuppet.
Or a spuppet. The other side of this, of course, is the fact that if Labour even show a modicum of...
retaining the premiership.
No, I think if they even show a modicum of sensibility and actually do half a decent job for the next... 6 months, they're going to win the next election. Yeah. Because I don't think people want to vote Barry O'Farrell in. They just want to vote Labour out.
This is what I've been saying all along, that I think Nathan could do anything, really. And I think they'll still get in, because they don't want the Liberals.
But the problem you've got with Nathan, and all power to him, nice guy, I'm sure. The problem you've got with Nathan is his behest to two particular people.
Yeah, Joe Tripodi.
Joe Tripodi and Eddie Obeid.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah. Now, those two people... caused probably the last major crisis that he had. And you know
they caused the global financial tsunami, soon to be catastrophe.
The problem he's got, like, okay, Rhys is doing a half decent job. He's put some decent people into ministerial positions. They're starting to do a good job. They're not fucking anything up. It's all going quite well.
Yeah.
Then in comes a 3-month battle where three or four parts of the party tear each other apart with stupid names like the Trogs and the Terrigals, tearing each other apart to get their man or their woman into it, or more particularly, to not let their man win, and we don't give a shit. Like, you know, Goebbels could walk in and we go, well, we really don't want him. And these are the same people that knifed John Watkins, probably one of the greatest talents that party had, and would actually prefer to have taken the party into opposition than allow John Watkins to be premier. I mean, how fucking stupid are you people?
Very.
Yeah, very.
Very, very, yeah, very stupid.
So it's been a bad week for Barry O'Farrell, or perhaps a good one.
A good one.
And
we think. Do we know when the... It'll be quite a while for the election, won't it? No, it won't.
March 2010.
2010.
So it's another year away.
That could...
Or is it March 2011? It might be 2 years away.
I was going to say, that could sync up with the federal, because they were talking about bringing that a bit early before... Yeah.
Captain Planet is talking about a federal election at the end of this year to parlay on the on the strife and trouble that
Really used the parlay this evening, haven't you? Big on the parlay?
Did you come across that
during the week and think, I might dust the parlay off? And
yeah, like
give that a bit of a run through?
Just to break down the fourth wall a little bit on this show, what I tend to do is I actually do no research. What I generally like to do is Abe talks about it a lot.
I don't know.
He sort of goes in one ear and out the other.
He comes in with all his paper. Yeah. I don't know what he's talking about.
The thing I generally like to do before a show...
That's what I like. I like to just do a big jerk off.
Lovely.
How I feel.
Lovely.
That usually gets me through the show.
Oh, excellent. And I wish I had a song to play just to go to a song now, but I don't. Oh, actually, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to anyway. And I break the bell. No, there's no reprise.
Not big fans of the old reprise. I put a reprise in there, Pete. I don't know how long did that go for? Did you see how long that went for?
Well, it was, it had
7.5 minutes.
It had 7.5 minutes, and then it just moved to the next track. So therefore, this machine is lying to me. Unwritten Laura lying to me, or Jesus is lying to me. I'm not sure which, but when I find out.
And having said that, you still chose to play that to our audience, our dedicated, loving audience.
No, I actually really like that song. That's not a re-recorded
version. I reckon if they're going to be flaccid, like they are on this album, as we've already discussed, they should have done a reprise in that. That was begging for a reprise.
It was an album closer, a side closer.
It was a side closer, and they should have done another reprise
on the outside
and then faded that out.
You should schedule albums. This is the Walking by Forest, which July 88.5.
I should do radio.
You should do radio. As you can tell, Abe isn't here for the, I was going to say second week running, but considering it's been 3 weeks between, that's really...
We need to apologise for that, because this is a regular thing with us.
Yes.
We never plan it, but accidentally, we always don't do a show when there's big news.
Yes.
So, and the big news over the last 3 weeks was... That a third of Australia went up in smoke.
Yes, exactly.
And we missed that.
And of course, we probably wouldn't have talked too much about it because, in many ways, in fact, in probably most ways, it's actually not funny.
No, it's not.
But
this is the interesting thing, isn't it? It's like, how long do you leave it before you can do gags about it? I haven't heard any.
No, I've heard none.
And usually, with a lot of these things, sometimes you'll get a photo or two or a joke, and it's like, oh, that's probably a bit too close to the thing. Nothing.
Though what you are getting on a serious note is a large amount of recriminations, which is in some ways...
I had a piece prepared. I was going to do a rant about that tonight, but I changed my mind for the very reasons that you...
And probably not about to do or just about to do.
The whole hate thing.
Maybe this taps what you were going to say, but to me what really is quite frustrating is the fact that I grant there needs to be a probably fairly detailed investigation, inquiry into what actually occurred. Because, you know what? 181 people don't just die fucking randomly.
Yeah.
You know, there's something that's gone wrong. But what I hated and what really shat me off was they caught a guy, right?
Yeah.
Well, a suspect.
Yeah.
Innocent until proven guilty, I believe, is the phrase in Australia.
Yes.
Now, I think there was this morning 5 Facebook groups, 3 of which have been taken down by Facebook United States. 5 Facebook groups basically full of messages about how this person should be tortured and punished.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it?
Before they've actually had a trial.
Even after they've had a trial.
The one I saw, and look, this person's lost people. I can't even imagine how bad that actually is. Lost their house. I can't imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
But nothing should drive anybody to this phrase. Mm. They should get this guy, take him to the steps of the town hall, pour petrol on him, and burn him alive. There we go. That was the very fine Nico Case, who I think's fantastic, and the track we heard was Tigers Have Spoken. Now, we were discussing that during that only 2-minute break that we just had to hear that song. And of course, Richard did say in part of our previous discussion that this is a sensitive topic, and what the point that I'd like to make at this point is my criticism,
and I might make the same point depending on if it's a good point.
Okay, please do.
Okay,
my point I want to make is my criticism is of the media, and I think this was really, really well demonstrated. And if you didn't see this, Richard did point me to this, and I will download it off the ABC site. Was this week's Media Watch reporting an article that was published in the Sydney Morning Herald last week by noted right-wing free thinker Miranda Devine, under which she blamed the Greens for the Victorian bushfires. For the point saying that you were, and of course Andrew Bolter, as the case may be, on Insiders on Sunday, made a similar inference when he said that there has not been an appropriate amount of fuel reduction in the area.
Now, Andrew Bolt really needs to, and I know he's been to Harvard and all these other places, but he really needs to try
Has he actually studied it?
Remember what a fucking journalist is.
Yes.
To be impartial and report the facts.
Yes, exactly right.
Every single sentence out of his mouth is, John Howard's a legend, and Labor don't know what they're doing, and they're going to ruin it for all our children.
Yes, exactly right. And, of course, that climate change didn't happen. Doesn't happen.
No, exactly.
It's a myth. So, Miranda Devine's story, for those, of course, who are overseas, and go to the Sydney Morning Herald's website. You can find it. It's just write Miranda Devine Greens Bushfires. You'll find it.
Yeah.
Was basically, and correct me if I'm wrong here,
sure.
was basically the fact that the Greens hadn't, people who were greenies,
yes.
In order to protect the environment from climate change,
yep. all of which really got to see Pete's.
All of which was done in inverted commas, yeah. air quotes. Have not allowed bushfire, the CFA in Victoria, to do the appropriate amount of burning and fuel reduction in high risk areas. That was her reason why so many people died. Now, it was very interesting the way the letter to the editor went.
Yeah,
the letters to the editor were basically. Saying, yes, you're right, right through to, let's think about what you're actually saying here. Mm. And having maybe a little bit more of an informed debate. Now, I'm not sure what tact Media Watch took.
No, they absolutely slammed her.
Oh, fair enough. To say it was irresponsible journalism.
I can't remember because they said, they pointed to the Miranda Devine article and straight away I sort of thought, oh, I'm going to turn off about this. Yeah. And then I heard them slamming her in the background. I sort of, okay, yeah.
Fair enough. And that does. See, and that, I guess what I was trying to say is indicative of my point.
Yeah.
This is a criticism of the media because the media, like always, I think in this country, particularly the commercial media, report inaccurately, ineffectually, and with bias.
Absolutely. And I'll give you one more example, which is a very touchy issue. So head me off if I get there.
Yep.
This is the whole, see the guy who was, apparently the law is you're allowed to bulldoze or clear up to 6 metres from your house.
Yep.
This one guy cleared 100 metres from his house, which is quite a distance.
Yep.
If you remember back when you used to run 100 metres at school. And he was fined $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
This is about 5 years ago.
Yep.
I think that's the case. And his was the only house still standing.
Yep.
In you know after the bushfires, and the media jumped all over it and said you know and every question they asked everybody, do you think it's about time the government allowed people to clear all of these trees?
Yeah,
and it's not a matter of should we now bulldoze the entire countryside to make it safe for people's houses? We should be reminding people that perhaps clearing the fuel aside and backburning aside may be. Houses, perhaps...
Could be built in different areas.
Should be built in safer areas, perhaps.
And I think
instead of using that as a reason for clearing out every single tree in Victoria, which seemed to be the impression that the media was pushing.
But let's also be fair. Captain Planet talked about rebuilding these communities, which is an important task.
Absolutely.
Brick by brick.
Absolutely.
Blah, blah, blah. To me, some of these places, some of the houses... You should really be looking at whether they are not in an appropriate place to put a house. Now, yes, you're right. Let's say you live in a village.
Mm.
You don't want to live in a big city. You're sure, living in the village because you want the bush around you and whatever else. You know, there are risks in anything you do. I mean, and I think what is a great tragedy in this country, once again, if we look at the media, has been the enormous flood problem in northern far north Queensland, and now northern New South Wales, which has gone almost entirely unreported because it's not as, granted, the quantum of the tragedy is nowhere as bad, but it's gone unreported because the media can't seem to focus on more than one story at once.
No.
And... You know, it's frustrating. It must be so frustrating for those for the people who've been. Some of those people have been underwater for 14 days.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've read the story. There are crocodiles.
Yes, there's crocodiles. They can't get food in.
Yep.
It's just.
And and you know what? I saw a speech by Bob Catter in Parliament, and that's his electorate, basically saying, "Look, yeah, okay." We're not saying, and it's this stupid bush rhetoric of either you're with us or against us.
Yeah,
I'm sitting here in my head, constantly second-guessing myself, trying to not say that what happened there isn't a tragedy and what happened there... They're both tragedies. They're both bad things. Yes, there's different scales, but they're both bad things.
Mm.
And it's frustrating that there's no attention up there, that they aren't getting the same relief. $77 million to rebuild houses... places in Far North Queensland are going to need to be rebuilt. Are they getting any of that money? Are they getting that support? Or they just get told, tough fucking luck?
Well, I'm assuming they are.
You'd hope they are.
And the media is just not reporting it.
To me, it's incredibly frustrating. It's the narrow-mindedness of the media in this country. And the one thing that I think is interesting about the American media is while they are in many ways equally mono-obsessed about certain issues, you can always turn to other media sources.
Yeah.
We don't have that same depth of both content and opinion in this country. I mean, we let people like Miranda Devine, Andrew Bolt, Piers Ackerman, and Gerard Henderson, and we call them journalists.
Yeah.
At least in America, they would never, ever be called journalists.
No.
They are...
Wankers?
they are opinion writers, or they are commentators, or they are, you know... But they, would you ever call Bill O'Reilly a journalist?
They're commentators.
Yeah.
And, you know, and our media hire them because they create angry eyeballs.
And divisiveness.
Exactly. And, all that sort of stuff, you know.
But here, we talk about Miranda Devine as a journalist. Mm. Piers Ackerman will sit on the Insiders and talk about himself as a journalist. Now, I'm sure he is a journalist by trade.
Mm.
But what he writes does not, in my opinion... constitute journalism.
Mm.
In my opinion, it constitutes commentary, opinion. It's not
the same with all the other guys.
Exactly right. And it's I mean, I've got friends of mine in Far North Queensland, or people I know in Far North Queensland, who have been underwater for weeks.
Yeah.
And I really sincerely hope that they are getting support from Centrelink and getting funding and going to get their houses rebuilt and going to get those things done.
Well, you'd have to assume that they are.
You'd hope so.
Yeah.
And if anyone knows, write to us at tellusthetruth@warpblackforest.org, because I'd really like to know.
You know, MediaWatch also had a go at a lot of the mainstream media, Current Affair and all those sorts of guys, because in one particular story, they were shooting in an area, two of them were actually there talking, I think they were the two hosts, talking to each other, basically saying, yes, in this area is off limits to everybody.
Because
it's still a crime scene.
Yeah.
And they showed all this other behind-the-scenes stuff as well. Yeah. It was ridiculous, you know. These people have lost everything.
Yes.
And I can't even begin to think what that would be like. And the last thing they need... Yeah. Is these sensationalising dickheads in their faces. And
wearing their big, colourful fire jackets.
Exactly. And they've praised the ABC TV and radio because what they've been doing is getting the information out to the people that need that kind of information. But, you know, the Nines and the Sevens and the...
But it's interesting, you know, the ABC were one of the first people to report it. On the Saturday morning, the ABC were reporting it. They had helicopters going over... Mm-hmm. This is what's happened. The ABC reporters have actually been, and there was a special Barry Cassidy did this week, which was basically aimed at getting information out to people about how do we fix this? How do you go? Whereas, to me, both the tabloid Current Affair and Today Tonight approach, but even the main news approach, and then particularly the breakfast television approach of both Seven and Nine, have not been about getting information out there. It's been playing the usual line of great Aussie heroes, talking about constantly making people relive the tragedy. And you know, I'm sorry, that's not journalism. The role of the media is to inform, educate, create public debate, and represent, in some senses, what is happening.
Well, news.
News, correct.
You would suggest.
Yet, you know, and there was an interesting little discussion on Insiders this week, which I thought was interesting, was about the number of politicians that cried. I saw Kevin Rudd cry on, I think it was one of the breakfast shows. That was pure, raw emotion. Because he's an emotional guy.
Yeah, sure.
He totally is.
Sure. And, you know, he's the guy. He's the last guy. The buck stops at him pretty
exactly
much.
Exactly right. So, Julia Gillard, Victorian, knew people that had this shit happen, lost people. I understand it. Then my question is, why then do the journalists reporting it have to then demonstrate the same emotion on air in order to say that this is a national tragedy? Wouldn't you argue that the role of the journalist is to try and remain as impartial as possible during this in order to present, you know, to be the organ of information and to be the organ of how to,
except when you're a celebrity.
Except when you're a celebrity?
Yeah, and he's presenting celebrity. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm
and saying, I think maybe you're right.
Yeah,
maybe
it's all the news, so-called, like you said, so-called journalistic celebrities. You know, it's all the presenters of all the current affairs. I wish I didn't say news, but current affairs programs.
But if you remember, let's go back to the last big tragedy that was reported by the news ad infinitum, Beaconsfield mine. Right, classic example. The image that strikes for me is not those two miners coming out and symbolically putting their little ticket on to say they've, you know, finally exited the mine. Not the image of the two of them, you know, fists pumping in the air. All of that's great television. It's beautiful photojournalism. To be there and watch that was good photojournalism. The image for me is when they're in the back of the ambulance, Koshy is jumping into the back of the fucking ambulance. And I'm thinking to myself, these guys have just spent 5-6 days underground. They have faced the idea that quite possibly they were going to die there in quite an uncomfortable and unpleasant way. And this dickhead jumps in the back of the ambulance with them to get a story.
Here's another one from the actual fires. You'll notice that when they first all the news people flew down there to do the live crosses, and all the current affairs shows were presented from there.
Usually in front of some poor person's burnt out house.
Well, before that, they were doing it. The nines and the sevens would do it in front of the fire trucks.
Yeah.
They would say, this is the staging area.
Yeah.
Whereas the ABC was like in a community centre.
With people
or somewhere
around,
like that. And you've got to wonder, you know, whether these stations are actually paying to be in front of the fire trucks.
Yeah.
Or whether they're, you know,
whether they're stopping that fire truck from going out to fight fires. Just wait till we finish the story.
Yeah,
we'll only be 20 minutes. It'll be all right.
I'm not going to go that far.
So, no.
Yeah, for the sake of comedy.
And I'm being hypothetical.
I know. I'm just wary of being lynched.
Yeah. So. Fair enough. What? By
the newsreaders.
By Tracy Grimshaw.
By the newsreaders. I can see a sketch where all these newsreaders are chasing after us down the street.
Yes.
Yes.
With microphones.
We paid
for that fire truck. Yes. But it to me, the one that, I did allude to it before, that then after they were let in, as you said, after they were let into areas which were crime scenes, because, you know, they've actually had to bring in special victim identification because of the horrendous task they're having to do, that they're there in front of someone's house.
Yeah, I know.
Now, that person hasn't been back to their house. So, not to
preempt or post-empt, Midi Watch, they covered that as well.
Did they?
And they showed a few examples where
they stood in front of someone's house and that person didn't know their house was burnt down.
Yeah, or hadn't given permission, or someone was back there living there and then gave credit to the ABC, apparently. Whenever they did it, they actually asked the owners for permission.
Of course they
did it. And stuff.
Because the ABC has showed journalistic integrity and ethics.
Go watch, I'd say just go watch the repeat of Media Watch, and you don't need to listen to us.
No, because they'll do it far better
than
we do.
And I'm assuming
their lawyers have checked it all.
Insiders at some point. Exactly.
Although you'd argue, are they going to go and do you reckon Tracy Grimshaw will be, and Matt White will go and lynch the host of Media Watch?
Most likely.
Mm. Oh, that didn't work. Bastard. Mm. I'm really having no luck with these things today.
You're not, Peter. Are you?
I know, technology. Yeah. Here we go. And now for something completely different.
Fantastic.
That was the band The Local Pricks.
Yes. No longer around.
No longer around.
They did change their name at some point.
And the track we played was called Pretty Boy.
They've got 3 EPs to go out and buy that if you like it. Pete.
Yes, Richard.
It pains me to bring this up because I know it's going to bring back bad memories for you. It's going to bring back flashbacks. It's going to make
you're going to talk about the Gordon Rugby Club again.
I am. It's going to make you angry.
Yep.
Emotional.
Yep. All those things. Yep.
If you still had an iPhone.
Yeah. Yes. Which I don't.
Or an iPod Touch.
Yep.
I've got the application for you.
Nice.
I've got the application that you can download from the iTunes store.
Will it work on my 4-year-old Motorola?
No, it won't.
No. No. But can I draw the little application symbol onto the screen in, like, pen?
You could do that.
And then press it and go, come on.
But you would be highly inaccurate.
Damn.
Inaccurate, which will make sense in a second. You could buy in the iTunes application store, app store, for $11.99.
Yep.
It's only $11.99.
No, that's cheap.
The Knights Armaments M110 iPod Touch mount and accompanying ballistic software.
Okay. Abe's not here, so there's no hard on under.
So if you do own an M10 sniper rifle.
Yep. As all of us do.
It's a semi-automatic sniper system, apparently.
Sorry, don't own this country because they're illegal.
They're illegal.
Yep.
But
I've seen them in Australian Shooter.
They are the US Army's latest preferred sniper rifle.
Nice.
Sorry, sniper system.
Mm-hmm.
Semi-automatic sniper system.
I've seen them in Australian Shooter. They're they were last month's centerfold.
Really, fantastic.
Yeah.
You can buy a.
It was one in a G-string.
Was it really? Yeah. You can buy an iPod
had
mount.
Had oiled nipples.
An iPod mount that goes on the side of the sniper rifle.
That was in there too.
And now I'm thinking. You can just imagine the guy in his little ghillie suit there with his waiting for 12 hours for the guy to, you know, come in front of the... Or is that just in the movies? Waiting for the guy to come in so he can shoot him.
Yep.
What's he going to do?
Yeah.
He's going to put on Slayer.
Nice.
Metallica.
Yep.
Pantera.
Yep.
You know, I know they're pussies.
The Veronicas.
He's going to be listening to that.
The Veronicas.
In Veronicas, exactly, Kylie.
Yep, bit of that.
And then when the guy's coming in, he wants to switch to his ballistics software so that he can he knows the distances and the wind direction and all that sort of stuff. So what better than the Knights Armaments M10 iPod Touch mount and accompanying ballistics sniper for the M10 7.62 bore semi-automatic sniper system.
See, one thing, I'll reprise.
Sure.
I know you're in a moment for a reprise. Yep. Abe's not here.
I know this, yes. The interesting thing, though, if Abe was listening...
Yes.
You can set up firearm and ammunition profiles.
Yep.
So you can scroll through with your little iPod Touch iPhone there. You can select your different armament profiles and ammunition profiles. You can call up a saved profile.
Yep.
I don't know how that would work. Maybe you could say, well, I've got 3 bullets.
Yep.
And you can save that.
Yep.
And then an hour later...
Maybe
you
your favourite bullets.
You could do that. You could restore, well,
five stars.
Favourite bullets, exactly.
Yep. Most shot.
Maybe it makes recommendations as
Could
well.
Could make recommendations.
This is a such and such shot. It's a celebrity shot. Yep. You probably need the number one profile.
Reprise. But celebrity shots.
Yeah.
Abe's not here. He's got all the celebrity shots.
Exactly.
Every single one of them.
He's got all of them.
He's got the whole lot.
I'm really... The whole story is really for Abe. Really.
Yeah, really. So where you went wrong, I think, at that point, was that Abe isn't here.
Isn't here. I'm getting the sense...
Yeah,
that may be a flaw in the story. You could buy it for $12 in the App Store. I think that's an interesting...
Can I also point out one other problem? Neither Abe nor I have an iPhone.
Oh, yeah, there's that, isn't there?
There's that problem as well.
Yeah.
Although I'm sure if Abe goes down to a pub somewhere in the southwest of Sydney, he could buy a second-hand brick.
And it may well be attached to... A black market M10 semi-automatic
sniper system.
Sniper system.
Well, for him, it may well be.
It may well be.
This is a Walk of My Forest, 2RRR, 88.5 FM. Am I going to play another song? That was Liz Phair, of course, off her album Exiling Guyville, and the track was 6'1".
Can I say, Pete, that with your iPhone being, well, we don't know if it's defunct, but nicked, the last thing you want to do now is buy an LG phone.
Yes, I've heard this.
Have you read it? Because apart from the fact that LG used to be Gold Star,
yes,
Now, for anybody over the age of, or anybody under the age of about 25, Goldstar used to be the crappiest brand on the market.
Korean?
I believe, I think LG have probably improved since then.
I think so, yeah.
LG have come out this week and said that they will do all, well, most of their phones will use Windows.
Nice!
That's great, isn't it?
That's high tech.
I don't know about you, but I switched the iPhone because my other phone was crashing all the time.
Yes.
The last thing I'd probably want to do is switch back to something Windows. That crashes all the time.
But it's not the problem with the Google phone, because the Google phone is using open source software, isn't it?
It is indeed.
As opposed to using proprietary Microsoft product.
Exactly.
Or proprietary Apple product, in case may be.
I don't know if I'd want the phone to say, such and such is calling, do you accept or deny?
Oh, is that what it says?
No. Because Vista does that all the time.
Oh, yes, it does. That's true.
Yeah.
Anyway, this has been, ladies and gentlemen, a Walkabout Forest, and we're about to play this. I assume that's working.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. I have no idea if it's working. But anyway.
At the beginning, that's all right.
That's all right. No worries. We will return next week, we hope.
Hopefully with Abe.
3 weeks, you never know.
Maybe with Abe, I might do the Sniper story again.
Yeah, fair enough. You might get a run then. We should actually also apologise for the rather short show this evening.
That's it.
Yep. What?
See ya.